Father, we exalt you this morning. We can't praise you enough for who you are and for what you do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything, even so far in this service. Thank you for we are blessed already. There's somebody, you slept on your neck, we call it. I don't know how people sleep on their neck, but you slept on your neck. So you have neck pain, you know.
You can't sleep on your neck.
If that is you, just wave at me. It has gone. Yeah, God is healing that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that just slept in the service this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Collins, okay. So it's a good time to pray for you.
Hallelujah.
It's a good time to pray for you. So just come. Don't worry. You already told me, what it was. But we know clearly the healing anointing is flowing. So it's a good time to just tap into that. Okay. So where's which hand? Just put that hand in my hand. Father, thank you. Thank you. I curse that infection and I command your healing power to go right through his hands. Even now, I command your healing. In that hand, I command every pain gone by the power of God and in the name of Jesus.
I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, oh Lord. I will praise you, oh Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving.
Call it. Pain. Give him praise.
Oh Lord, yes I will.
The right atmosphere. If there's somebody else, you're sick, just put your hand on your chest right where you are. God's power is flowing. That's what that tells you. It tells you the healing unction is flowing. You can tap right into it now. I command every sickness, every disease, every pain be gone by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Now take a moment and just consciously receive that. Receive that. I'm not just saying it. There's a flow of God's power. So consciously take it on. Take it on and just receive it. Just receive it. Let it flow right through you. Flow right to that source of pain and all of that. And it goes. It goes. It goes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now take a moment and just give him thanks for that healing. Take a moment, give him thanks for it, and begin to do something you couldn't do before. You had pain anywhere, begin to move that part. Yakabos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for healing. You can raise it, man. Yes, man. Could you raise it that high before? How high could you go before? Is your hand to your shoulder? Was there pain, sir? How is the pain? Sir? Don't help me, oh God. If it's better, you say yes, it's better. How is it, man? It's better. You still have a little pain, but it's better than this morning, earlier on. Yeah, so that's what, for those who were here on Thursday, poco. Yeah. So little by little, it's moving, it's going. You know, so the same way that sickness begins with a symptom and you begin to feel something little and it gets worse, the same way when it's going, sometimes it goes little by little. But the moment it's going, begin to thank God that God's power is at work in it. It doesn't stop in the service. It continues, man. It continues. That power rests on you, stays on you, even for the next 3 days. It just works and gives you an overhaul. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, indeed, we thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your word this moment. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16. Don't worry, did you enjoy the welcome charge from Pastor NY? Did you enjoy the welcome exhortation? And I believe that was good encouragement. Amen. I actually knew I would not have as much time, so don't worry, I wasn't bothered. As I thought about the service, somehow there are things that will happen before the service, I would know what will happen. So I knew I would not have as much time, and I knew that I was just going to more or less introduce, even though I was fully prepared, you know, to speak all the way through. So by the time we then say, oh no, but sorry, we were having some problems, some issues, so I had to take more time. And I was like, no, I knew, I was expecting it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but thank God, and I think that was really useful for many people. Amen. Because people think that people arrive where they are overnight, or they just arrive there. You know, men are in sizes and life is in phases. Okay, men are in sizes, life is in phases. So, you see him today, he's telling you about Pushke. Even though you are seeing a nice car now, SUV, but there was a Pushke before the SUV. Can I have an amen? It's good to hear that. And it's good to hear about the woman of faith that will follow him when there was nothing. Amen. So that you know that there is indeed Surulere and not only Olonshogo. Amen. Apologies to those that I don't know how to interpret that if you don't. So I apologize. Thank you. Amen. So Matthew 16, are you there? So it's good that sometimes some of those stories are shared so that people are encouraged and they know that it's not always been rosy, but people, as you walk with God, it gets better and better. Hallelujah. The only thing you have to do is be consistent with God. Be consistent. Don't play games. And be in it for the long haul. Don't be in it and say, well, I've been praying, I've been going to church for the last 3 years. Did he tell you it took 3 years? Amen. You know, there was a time where he was walking. They were not paying. So he was walking for free. So he came and said, man, I can't keep walking for free. You know. I mean, I need to leave this job. So I said to him, did God tell you to leave the job? Are you with me? I said, did God tell you to leave the job? I said, I don't think so, but depends. Did God tell you that? I said, so if God didn't tell you, you stay where you are. And guess what he did? Are you hearing me? He did. But then some other time also later, I said, it's time I believe that you leave that job. You know, oh, we are bonded. I said, even me, I will find you a lawyer. My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. These are the two texts that I'm referring to, basically, as I speak in what will now become apparently a series, but it's not supposed to be. Amen. Oh, I didn't plan initially that it would be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, It says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself, some evangelists, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. How many people understood, you know, that long flow? I know that, you know, as I read all of that, it's very easy to get lost and not be able to follow the track of what it says. So if you feel that way, you are not alone. Amen. And don't feel very bad. Hallelujah. But basically, I'm speaking about God's strategy for the church. God's strategy for the church. By the church, I mean the larger body of Christ, as it were. But I'm also kind of inclusive of the local assembly. But God's strategy for the church. So we find that years ago, I heard the story about how some architects were put together. And they asked them to design, you know, give us a template of the cities of the future. This was years ago, long before you had skyscrapers, you know, those tall buildings and not any of those things. And they asked them, they said, can you project, you know, architects and urban designers and all of those things. And they said, can you tell us, you know, and make a design of what you see cities becoming in the future? So these guys put together, you know, their template, their modeling of what the cities of the future would look like. And in that model, they had skyscrapers, buildings that are very tall. You know, the biggest, who knows the biggest building in Nigeria? The tallest, no, the first skyscraper in the Southwest. In fact, I think in Nigeria, is which one? Cocoa House. You know, that's in Ibadan. Now, Cocoa House is not very impressive now. He's even laughing. He's coming to Ibadan. It's not very impressive now. But you can imagine that it took that long for anybody to build anything like that. Okay? But this was in the West. This was, you know, America and all. So they asked these guys to design it and project. What would cities look like in the future? This was when people were riding on horses and whatnot. And these people sat down and they put their heads together. They debated it and they came up with a model. And in the model, they had highways. You know, they had highways, which we call expressways. In the model, they had, you know, they had underground drainages, they had skyscrapers, they had all kinds of things which nobody had seen before that time. And they presented this model. And then people began to ask questions. And they asked them, they said, well, we see all of these things you have put together, but strangely, we don't see church. We don't see that you have put any church in your diagram and all that. Where would the churches be? We can see you have shopping malls. There were no shopping malls, you know, where you build a big complex and you have several shops together. There were no shopping malls. They said, how come? I mean, you've put all of these things there that we've never seen before, so this is what cities will look like, but you left out churches. And the people laughed. They said, yeah. They said, because we see that in the future, people would outgrow that. They would no longer go to church. How wrong they were. Are you with me? How wrong they were. Can I hear you say they were wrong? Jesus said, I will build my church. Are you with me? And the gates of Hades will not stand against it. Let me first say this to you as a note of encouragement. Don't be bewildered scared unnecessarily and whatnot about anything happening around. Nothing can overcome the church. Are you hearing me? What's holding the church is supernatural. What makes the church is beyond normal. It's invisible. It's beyond comprehension. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. People are shouting, oh, there's a Fulani agenda. Hey, there's an Islamization agenda. My friend, it can't work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is impossible. Can't. There's nothing anybody can do about that. Until the church leaves the surface of the earth, you can't overcome it. It's not possible. Why do you say so? Because Jesus said so. Are you still there? He said, I will build that church and the gates of Hades. One of the big errors we have had is the mentality of the defeated instead of the mentality of the victor. We ought to be carrying around the mentality of the victor. You know, sometimes I go through things, I can't understand them, but I know that God said, Lo, I'm with you always. I know that he said, if I be for you, who can be against you? That is more than enough for me. I can't see the way out. I can't see how to overcome it. But I just remember he said, I'm with you always. And if I'm for you, nobody can be against you. And that's enough. Are you with me? Someone say, you have faith. No. I just have faith in him. I believe him. I don't have faith in my faith. Do you understand what I mean by that? Some people are spending all of their time trying to measure their own faith. I'm trying to see how big is my faith, how small is my faith, how big is my faith. I don't have faith for this. I don't have faith for that. I don't waste time on what I have faith for. I just check. God, is he who he is? Did he say something about this thing? If he says something about it, I believe him. And that's all I need to do is to find what he has said and believe what he has said. Can I have an amen? We are the victorious, the triumphant church. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Let me give you a revelation. Gates don't move. Are you with me? This way I'm going. We have the impression that hell is coming at the church. And we're trying to resist it. It's the wrong picture. What is really going on is the church is expanding and growing, and hell is trying to stand its ground. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Meaning we are the ones moving. And we are advancing. And the gate, hell is trying to shut the gate and maintain boundaries, but we will break boundaries. Are you hearing me? There are more people being saved per day today than it was 10 years ago. Believe it or not. But that's what he said. So gates are not supposed to move. Whether we're talking about, the church as a whole, or you as a member of the church, you are supposed to be the one who is moving and making advances. It was Higgin I was speaking. I said, somebody said, I've got the devil running. Abraham Higgin said, wow, that's fantastic. He said, the only problem is that I'm running and he's running after me. Are you still there? Somebody else was giving a testimony and said, the devil is after me. Praise his holy name. But that shows how we think, isn't it? We are constantly thinking about what is against us, what is coming at us. And I'm saying, no. The real truth is that the devil is shivering. Every time we wake up and there's a breaking of day, the devil is scared stiff of the believers. What are they going to do again today? Oh, are you still there? The mere fact that we had church this morning, can you imagine? There are many things we don't even know that have happened. Are you with me? I'm telling you how the devil is terrified. So I walk into church this morning, for instance. Colin says, I had this day, I couldn't sleep because I saw him sleeping.
He sat outside and he was sleeping. So I said, Ogana, wow, you know, you are sleeping on this thing that you are sitting on. He said, oh, I couldn't sleep. I had pain in my hand all night. Now, you can imagine that pain disappearing in a moment. And you think that doesn't worry the devil? Are you still there? Somebody wakes up and has slept on the neck and then disappears. You think that doesn't bother the devil? That the thing that I'm trying to do, they are destroying it. But that is the church. Are you still with me? That's the nature of the church. He says what Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. John chapter 1. He said the light shines in darkness and the darkness could not comprehend it. And that one says the darkness could not hold it back. The fact that light shines at all, no matter how thick the darkness is. Have you ever put on a candle or put on a torchlight in a dark room and the darkness stood there and covered it and said no? Have you ever seen it before? Jesus said, you are a light. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 5. He said, you are a light and you are set upon. You can't be covered. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not possible. Listen, the only thing that has defeated the church is the mentality of the church. If we stood on God's word, believe what God's word said, forget about even family history. Are you with me? But stand on what God's word says. Forget about your personal history. And stay on God's word. Why? Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, meaning that everything starts afresh. All of history perishes. You can rewrite the story from the moment you gave your life to Christ. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So Jesus spoke and he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what we are dealing with is an advancing army. Is an occupying army. Are you hearing me? You know, so for instance, when they went into Iraq, you know, the U.S. and the other forces, when they went into Iraq, first they cleared up the place. Then they occupied. Meaning they took over. That's the design for the church. Jesus came, cleared up the place. Then gave us what? The authority to occupy. Stay there and occupy the whole place. You know, I was thinking, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking that the devil has never yet outsmarted God, not once. And it won't start now. You know, in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel, suddenly things were going bad for them. Going bad for them. The Bible says there arose a king that did not know Joseph. And then everything, all of their fortunes in Egypt turned around almost overnight. They became slaves. Where they were enjoying before, they suddenly were turned into slaves and things were very hard. And it looked like there was no way out of that situation. But even in that time, God raised somebody who was going to deliver. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the name of a baby called Moses, and took the same Pharaoh to nurture the baby. It's one of the most amazing things I see in the Bible. Is that God said, this is the person that will break your neck. Take care of him. And brought the baby into Pharaoh's palace for Pharaoh to feed with his own money and send to school with his own money so that he can grow up to destroy Pharaoh. Are you hearing me? God always has a plan. Can I hear you say God has a plan?
God has a plan.
We may not know it. We may not be able to see it. But always remember, God has a plan. And his plan is for a winning, triumphant church. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
He said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, when he was speaking that, like I said, he expected that what the church would be built on that makes the church triumphant. I'm just introducing now. Okay, I'm introducing now because where I'm actually going is God's strategy for that church. But first, we are seeing the vision. What does God see? What was God thinking of? What was God planning Okay? And then we'll see what was God's strategy for achieving it. And God's plan is not a defeated church. God's plan is not a wimpy church. It's not a church that is shivering at opposition. It's not a church that is scared. But God's church is a triumphant, or God's plan is a triumphant church. But when Jesus spoke it, he said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Some have misunderstood that, and they said he was calling Peter the first pope. Okay, so they said Peter was the first pope. That's what they believe, that Peter was the first pope ever, and all the popes are after him. So I don't know what number they are on now in the number of popes, but Peter was number one. Okay, that's not what Jesus was saying. Are you there? Let me go back to that scripture. Let me quickly lay that, and maybe that's, just when we finish with Matthew 16, I can stop for the day. And then we'll continue again. Thank you, sir. Matthew 16. Are you there? Okay, now I've used the orange and the black. It remains blue, Mike, before I finish. Amen. Are you with me? So verse 18, he said, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, the error, let's just quickly clear that, is that the word Peter means rock. Okay, but the word he used for Peter and the word he used for rock are two different words. Are you following what I'm saying? In the original Greek, there are two different words. The one he used for Peter meant a small, a small rock. Okay, it means a small rock. And when he says on this rock, he meant a big rock. So what was he saying? He was saying on the rock of revealed. Because he was just speaking to Peter about revelation knowledge. When Peter said that, when he says, who do men say that I am? And he said, well, people say you are this, they say you are that, and all of that. And he says, who do you say that I am? And none of the disciples could answer. Then Peter answered and said, you are the Son of God. Then he said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And you are a rock. Because Peter, Simon, actually meant a reef or a reed, which is like a plant blown easily by the wind. So he was telling him, you are Peter. You know, he changed his name from Simon to Peter, meaning you are a rock. That's what Jesus did. You become more stable as a person. But he said, you are Peter. You are a small rock. However, on that rock of revelation knowledge, the kind of thing you just experience now, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. So our victory begins with revelation knowledge. Are you there? The victory of the church begins first and foremost with revealed knowledge. That the more we know, the more we understand, the more we understand God's word and all of it, and we can see the truth from God's word, that's the beginning and the foundation of our victory as a church. Are you there? So that's why you don't joke around with revelation knowledge. Proverbs 29 verse 18. The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. The word vision there means revealed knowledge. So where there's no revealed knowledge, the people do what? And a lot of perishing is happening. It's interesting that it's not for the sake of the devil that the people perish. It says where there's no revealed knowledge. One says where there's no revelation knowledge, the people run helter skelter. Are you with me? Hosea chapter 4, I think verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He did not say they are destroyed because of the devil. He said they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The biggest problem that we'll have as a church is a lack of revealed knowledge. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the biggest challenge we need to overcome, is revelation knowledge. It's nothing else. Forget all of the time, effort, energy put into fighting enemies is a waste of time. Put your the same time, the same effort, the same energy into getting revelation knowledge of God's word and watch yourself become victorious. Are you still there? When I was younger, we had a lot of books. people writing about the devil and the demonic kingdom. Some will write about the 11 levels of demonic powers. And they write their names. First level is Shukunkus. Second one is Shukurutundus. And people were memorizing those things. I said, no, you're wasting time. You don't even know who you are in Christ. You are trying to identify the different levels in the devil's kingdom and memorize them. Are you still there? You know what happened to many people? And then we had a lot of books also written by people who were second in command to the devil. They were all second in command. Before they got saved, everybody was second. You've seen some of those people. Everybody was second in command. And then they all write books. And believers were rushing to buy the books. And I always ask people, when you finish reading them, what happens to you? Their heart is filled with fear. Are you still there? And it tells you it's not God. Huh? God speaks faith, not fear. Psalm 85 verse 8, he said, I'll listen to hear what he will say to me, for he will speak peace. You read a Bible book and you can't sleep. That's not a Bible book. Please go and burn it. Are you hearing me? You read a book and then all you are doing, you are scared. Hey, maybe the devil is in my attachment. Hey, maybe the devil is in... my friend, burn the book. Are you still with me? Because what it has done is build faith in the devil rather than faith in God. And if you have faith in God, it doesn't matter who the devil is. Are you still with me? The Bible says God has given him a name that is above all names. That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Whether of things on earth or things in heavens, whether kingdoms, dominions, it doesn't matter what. That's what he says. He says it doesn't matter what. So I don't even need to know what. Are you still there? You've gone quiet. I said, are you there? Proverbs 11 and verse 9, he said, by knowledge the righteous shall be delivered. You want deliverance? Get knowledge. Are you still with me?
Yes,
deliverance services were very popular. I'm not sure of how popular they are now. But we have deliverance services here every Sunday, every Thursday. Are you hearing me? Because when you get knowledge, you get free. But in those days, they will have deliverance services. Anything that at all that's wrong with somebody, a child is misbehaving, take her for deliverance. He told a lie yesterday, take him for deliverance. He stole meat in the pot. He needs deliverance. Are you with me? And people who went for deliverance week or this month went again next month. And they went again next month. And they went again next month. Why? Because knowledge was missing. Are you there? But if they got knowledge alone, we free them forever. Are you still there? Somebody say, this man doesn't know what he's saying. I know what I'm saying. Very much. I know what I'm saying. And I've seen deliverances. I mean, there's somebody who was struggling. I choose my words carefully, or I try to. And I don't know what, I mean, at this demonic oppression. Thank you. It's not blue. Okay, that's blue there. Hallelujah. Sorry, is it me? Or is the mic? Frequency, okay. You know what I'm saying. Amen. Okay, so and then they called me in the middle of the night. She couldn't sleep. I had fainting spells. Mark chapter 9. Brought the child to Jesus. He will faint. Sometimes he will throw him into the fire, sometimes into the water. So they called me and said, this is what is going on. I couldn't sleep that night, so when the phone rang, this was years ago, when the phone rang, and it was them. I knew why I couldn't sleep, because I was very tired, so I should have slept off immediately. And I have no problem with sleep. You know, my wife always wonders about that. I have no problem with sleep. That when I say good night, I mean it.
I'm about to board the plane, and I go. You know, I don't sleep too long, but when I say good night, I'm gone. You know, it doesn't take too long, and it doesn't matter what has happened. You know, what just happened. When I say good night, I close my eyes, because the Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. So I just take off, and I go. And sometimes, she was very annoyed. You just sleep. After what is going on, I said, so what can my being awake do to it? The Bible says, he that keeps you does not sleep nor slumber. So both of us can't stay awake. Are you there? So I couldn't sleep that night very strangely, and then the phone rang, and I picked the phone. And it turned out to be them, and they told me what was going on. She had just collapsed and whatnot, and they were praying, you know, and all of that around her. And I said, okay, put the phone to her hair. So they put the phone to her hair, and I commanded, you know, the devil to leave her alone. And then they picked the phone again, and I said, well, that's it. I'll see you in the morning. So they said, oh, should we continue to pray? I said, if you wish. I said, but me, I'm going to bed. The matter is done. I know why I was awake, and it's settled. So I go to bed. If you want to spend time praying, enjoying yourself, fellowshipping with God, fine. I said, but it's not necessary. Yeah, I said, she's going to calm down now, and you know, she'll sleep, which is exactly what happened. But then I asked her, I said, God, what was that about? You know, and then God told me everything. She's some attack, you know, lineage and all that. They wanted to initiate her into a cult and things, and she's refusing. I didn't know anything about this, before then. You know, and then, so I went there in the morning, and I asked her, okay, so what was that? So she told me, I said, well, so what do you think, caused that? And she told me exactly what God had said. He said, oh, it was my grandmother, she was this, and I was to take the place, and I refused. You know, and this was somebody I knew, I'd known for long, you know, and I thought, so sometimes she'll just be standing and she'll just collapse. I had never heard it before. So I said, okay, fine. God saved you or delivered you last night. I said, but you want real permanent deliverance, then you stay on God's word. And I remember clearly it was Isaiah 54 that I showed her that day. I said, it says what? That no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. You know what the word fashioned means? Customized. Eh? Customized. It means they made it for you. It's not by accident. They made it for you. They, you know, took your name, your picture, your clothes. This was customized against you. It will not affect anybody else. It was you they were targeting, and it came for you. He said, but no weapon, the one customized against you, shall not prosper. Then he says, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. He said, the final part is what I like. He said, this is the heritage of the children of God. It's their inheritance. You don't have to strive to get it. You don't need to try to have it. There's no power to try to get. He said it's your heritage. It's your when they say write your name, you say, let me call my daddy. Can I write Ojukwu? It's his heritage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, so it belongs to you. You need to see that. You need to see that there is nothing they can do that can work. It was the last time I heard about it. Last time she ever had that problem. Interestingly, she then even told me that they actually been to my pastor. They had been to my pastor before. That time, I didn't know that she was going through anything. So they had taken her to my pastor, and the man talked to her, and then he asked her, he said, which church do you attend? So she said it. He said, Odubanjos. Angels. He said, man. He said, go and see him. I'm not going to pray for you. So that became the last time. What am I talking about? By knowledge, the righteous shall be delivered. That's why our emphasis is on the word. Are you hearing me? We see the move of the spirit, we see manifestations of the spirit, but our emphasis remains the word of God. You must know God through his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As somebody else finished service, we're talking, and he just kind of lost it. I mean, it was bad. I mean, what do I mean by lost it? It's like somebody just gone.
in a trance or whatever it was not aware of himself anymore, you know, would ease on himself. I mean, perfectly normal young man. So I prayed with him. It was okay. But it happened again some other time later. I said, bring him to my house. So he came to the house, stayed there overnight. I prayed for him. The devil is manifested. I said, I'm done. I'm going to bed. I'm going to bed. Because when you leave a faith command, the devil knows. The Bible says that Jesus cast out devils with a word. One. So what he said was what? Go! So I went to bed. By morning, he had calmed down. So I sat him down. I said, we'll keep doing this thing, except you know what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12? When he cast out a devil, he said the devil goes out looking for a place to rest, but finding none, returns. I said, that's what happened to you, returns. And then he comes with what? Because the first time was easier than the second time when I prayed for him. I said, he brings with him seven worse devils because he found the place swept and empty. I said, that emptiness is what we will feel. So you spend the time. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Number one, pray in other tongues. Yes, okay, good. Number two, fill yourself with God's word so that when the devil comes, he finds the place full. There's no space. That's the last time I heard of it. Are you with me? The church, I will build my church upon this rock of revelation knowledge, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we talk about the design of God for the body of Christ, the strategy. So I work with institutions, develop strategic plans for institutions and all that. So when you have an institution, a company or whatever, along the line you start developing your strategic plans. How do you want to move? Call it whatever you want. Feasibility plan, blah, blah, blah. Well, call it whatever you want. Yeah, that's your strategy. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. When God said, I will build my church, he had a strategy for that triumphant church. He had a strategy for how the church will occupy. Some other time also we'll talk about occupying. Hallelujah. But he had a plan. Amen. And let me just say ahead that his plan was not about some superstars called pastors, evangelists, prophets, and teachers, and apostles. His plan included them, but goes way beyond them. Are you hearing me? His plan includes all of us. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet this morning. So begin to talk to God. I don't know what you heard that mattered to you. And that's God speaking to you specifically about that. Not just the whole message, but that is important. But what particularly hit you like a bomb? That's God speaking to you. Take a moment to brood over that matter particularly and talk to God about that. I will find you with all my heart. I will lift my voice to you in worship, to you in worship, with all.
With all my
this morning also, you need to make peace with God. Or whether you are watching or listening somewhere, and you need to make peace with God, this is the right time to do so. Whether you've never been born again, it's a good time to do so. Now is the time of salvation, the scripture declares. Now. And it's very simple to do. Romans 10, 9 and 10 makes it clear to us that if we believe in our hearts, Jesus died for us, rose for our own justification, and you confess that from the depth of your heart, it says you'll be saved. And you can do that for the first time, or you are doing it again. Perhaps you've drawn away from God and you are uncertain about your faith, about your destiny. If you were to die now, you can make certain of what will happen to you. You can have the joy of salvation once again. And I want you to just write wherever you are. Put your right hand on your chest if you are praying that, whether for the first time or you are just rededicating your life to Christ. Just put your right hand on your chest right where you are and say this short prayer after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I accept you as my Savior. I accept that you died for my sins. I accept that you rose again so that I might have peace with God. I believe it with all my heart, and I confess you as my own Savior and my Lord this morning. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone praying that. Thank you because even those who might be praying that in days to come, weeks to come, years to come, the word of God remains the same. And as they do that, they are saved. Thank you for salvation. Thank you because we commit them into your hands and we know you're able to keep them even till that day. In Jesus' name. And my encouragement always is read your Bible daily, pray daily, find a Bible-believing church to attend. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.